I think it's good for democracy.
I'd like to see the greener issues.
The issues would be for the homeless and the farmers.
Well, they've done something, but they haven't done enough.
There's a few of them need to be turfed out, I think.
Hello, you're very welcome to the Your Politics podcast. I'm Maggie Doyle and I'm joined by my colleagues here from the political staff, Paul Cunningham, Micheál Lehane and Sandra Hurley. We decided before we came into this room to have some talks about what we might talk about. So we split off into separate groups and then we got together and different parts of us spoke about different things. And then there were some different groups formed about what we might talk about. You get the drift. We're still talking about government formation, which we will get into in some detail. Simon Coveney and Helen McEntee were in Brussels today, which meant that they weren't there when their party Fine Gael was talking to members of Fianna Fáil this afternoon, Micheál, which is the first time there's been an official sit down and chat post election.
Well, it's only between Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar, really. So that's because you are at that point where you're not in negotiations yet. You're in the exploratory phase. And also today you saw the independent grouping, the technical grouping of nine people meeting with Fine Gael in this instance, but Leo Varadkar is still there. As long as Leo Varadkar is in the room for something like this, you're not at the point of negotiations because you'd have to have independent negotiation teams kind of out there doing the real work. So it's at the very beginning. So I suppose what is clearer from today at this point in the day, and there will be more clear later on, is that there seems to be a group of eight independents at least anyway, who are now saying and offering in the most tentative terms, but the feeling coming from a meeting between Fianna Fáil and the one they held with Fine Gael is that these group could possibly provide some kind of cover in a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael coalition, along with the Greens as well.
And group is the regional...
The regional technical group.
Yeah.
The RTG.
Yeah, because we've got a couple of different groups, haven't we, of independents, because there's so many of them.
Yeah, so this is the one that was formed last Thursday. So you have Cathal Berry, you've Sean Kenny, who's an outgoing minister, of course. You've two former ministers in Dennis Nocton and Michael Lowry. Verona Murphy is there. Matt Shanahan from Waterford. And Pather Tobin. Pather Tobin, as a party leader, of course, slightly out of kilter, you could say, compared to the others there. He did meet with Fianna Fáil, but he didn't meet with Fine Gael. And he said that was because that related to a pre-election promise. So this grouping, apparently, there's very little policy difference detected at the opening two meetings. There was also a sense of urgency that they need to move quickly, the two bigger or medium-sized parties, as we put them now, to try and form a government. It could work, the view is, because it could mean that if the Greens were to sign up to this as well, but you would have another part of it and it would provide stability. You could also say that it would keep the Greens in line if there was a bit of instability there, and that if they felt they could bring the structure down quite quickly, that if this other group was there, then you'd have wider cover, and then the whole notion of 5 years becomes a possibility. It's very early days, but I think more progress was made at those two meetings than was anticipated. When they met with Fine Gael, there was a lot of people in the room. There was Heather Humphreys, there was Martin Hayden and Pascal Donoghue, also Martin Fraser, the Secretary General to the Government, was there, and the key Fine Gael advisor, Brian Murphy, there as well. So high-powered enough meeting.
So Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, we will expect obviously to have further meetings, whether that's going to be just the leaders again, Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar, we don't know exactly.
Well, so the next,
they've been meeting this afternoon.
The next step on that is does enough come from today's meeting to go back to the Fine Gael parliamentary party tomorrow and for Leo Varadkar to make a recommendation that full negotiation should begin? I think it may not happen. I think there is still a fear in Fine Gael about making that final step because, of course, officially the party is still preparing for opposition. So that will that remain? They might have cover by saying that the Greens continue to talk to Sinn Féin as long as that process is ongoing. Maybe it isn't time for Fine Gael to make that definitive move.
It seems very tentative so far. This meeting between Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar. Everything Leo Varadkar has said about this since last week is that at the moment opposition remains the goal. So even the language is very much, well, we're having exploratory talks, we're dipping our toe in, but at the moment, we're still aiming for opposition. And as Micheál said, he hasn't even yet got the full go-ahead from the parliamentary party to get down to any kind of detailed discussion. So there is a sense that it's moving. There's certainly lots of talks happening this week, but it's very tentative so far. And we know that the Dáil is coming back Thursday of next week. It's going to take another vote to elect a Taoiseach, and nobody is expecting there to be anything firm happening on that day.
Well, let's talk about who did get the most votes for Taoiseach last week, which was Maryleen McDonald, Sinn Féin leader, and Sinn Féin holding a number of these rallies now around the country, the first one of which was yesterday. But it's I suppose the party has called it a rally, haven't they? You know, that's their official term. What's the difference between a rally and a meeting?
Don't know.
They're calling them
rallies.
According
to the Taoiseach, a rally is bullying and intimidatory in nature, while a meeting wouldn't be. I think Eamon Ryan took the sting out of that yesterday evening when he said the Greens will do something similar in the next few weeks. And suddenly it didn't look quite as significant or anything akin to what the Taoiseach said it was. I wasn't there, I wasn't in the room, but judging by the reports that came back from it, this was a fairly mainstream meeting in the nature of what was discussed. There was nothing said at that Sinn Féin hasn't said before. Mm. A policy meeting that essentially involves supporters. Does it put pressure on Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil to talk to Sinn Féin? I don't think really at that level. I think if that pressure comes from anywhere, it comes from one quarter, and that will be the Green Party. How long the Green Party continue to engage with Sinn Féin is the key test in all of this, because it's at that point, when that reaches its natural end, if it does reach its natural end, then I think it's only then Fine Gael will feel most comfortable. Fine Gael have a worry that somewhere along the line, Micheál Martin could come under pressure from the wider Fianna Fáil party to look again at Sinn Féin, even though he's been resolute and he's been unambiguous in his approach. But could enough pressure come on? And if Fine Gael feel that they have engaged in the dance with Fianna Fáil at that point and are jilted at the last minute, that would be the ultimate shame. They would have said they're going into opposition. They would have gone down the full road of negotiation with Fianna Fáil, only to find something went wrong. That is something that the party cannot countenance or contemplate at that moment. So it's that caution that remains in the air.
And do we think that Maryleen MacDonald is doing this with her party to try and create that sort of an atmosphere, I wonder, between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, that she is, you know, she's trying to gather up this support, even though she did get the support in the general election, but she's now looking out to presumably members of her party, and they tell us that you know, hundreds more, if not thousands, are signing up to Sinn Féin.
Yes.
Is she doing that to just try and poke them a bit?
Well, I think that, you know, they had such a great general election. They're trying to build on that. We've heard, as you mentioned, I think they're saying that thousands have joined as members just in the last 2 weeks. So, and apparently nearly 1,000 gathered in the Rochestown Park Hotel yesterday in Cork. They're having another rally this evening in Liberty Hall in Dublin, more around the country. And they are just keeping the momentum going. And there was a real war of words over this yesterday. You know, Leo Varadkar attacked them for holding rallies and said that, you know, they went on to say that they had a casual relationship with democracy. And Piers Doherty spoke later and said that in his view, you know, he thanked them for generating all this publicity for their meetings. He said it would just bring more people out. And he said that they were engaging in hysterics. So in some ways, there was a feeling yesterday that what Leo Varadkar had said had somewhat backfired. Because, as Micheál said, the Greens took the sting out of it anyway. They're insisting that they are talking to everybody and that they respect everybody's mandate.
I mean, I think from Sinn Féin's point of view, what Mary Lou MacDonald characterised it was that their engagement with the electorate didn't stop when it voted. So when the electorate voted for other parties, now gone off into their negotiating.
Oh, well,
teams,
we saw her. She was out at community centres and meeting people immediately
afterwards.
And
you can expect an awful lot more.
And she was in Athlone, I think, today at the floods.
And so that's what Piers Doherty said last night was repeated on the plinth to me by one of their negotiating team. Thanks, Leo, because he seems to be drumming up support for them. They were saying that the talks with the Greens today went well, that they were detailed, that they felt the Greens were serious. But what we haven't heard yet is how, and this is touching on what Micheál said, is how the Green Party is going to assess at what point do they come to a view that the one option is better than another, or that they've reached a difficulty. And that is a key thing. And the Greens haven't explained that just yet. And until that happens, we're not going to know how to move forward.
Yeah, Eamon Ryan saying yesterday evening that this thing has to run its course and you have to have a comprehensive start. So those talks continue with Fine Gael tomorrow and the Greens, and then Fianna Fáil and Independents.
Everybody is saying, when is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? When is it that, or does it matter at this point that, you know, public opinion on this forces them into really just, you know, this whole idea of, well, we'll wait until next week.
And I think that we have been saying since the end of the general election that you're probably going to be talking about the end of March before things get serious, probably Easter before you're getting a deal. And so people are just going to have to get used to that.
Yeah, Easter is the deadline. I suppose there is still a danger for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to a lesser extent about not talking to Sinn Féin at all? I mean, is that politically sustainable? There's a feeling within those parties, well, this is, if Sinn Féin doesn't make it into government this time, well, that probably will be the last time that will happen. It does seem, and it is grating with people, some people who didn't vote for Sinn Féin at all, speaking to other TDs from the independent ranks, that they are picking it up in constituencies across the country, a degree of anger at the freezing out of Sinn Féin from talks, from any kind of meaningful talks between with Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. And that is an unusual stance. I suppose you did have something akin to that back in 92 when Fine Gael wouldn't speak to Democratic Left, but they changed their tune very lively 2 years later when John Bruton needed to become Taoiseach. I mean, so, but you are at that point again. But Sinn Féin's mandate here, even though, yes, it isn't akin to what some people are saying it is, but it still puts them slightly ahead of the other parties on first preference vote, and they are in a much stronger position the Democratic Left were at that point, yet they can't get into to meaningful talks with the two other medium-sized parties. And that is out there, and that is something people who won't be going to rallies in Liberty Hall or weren't in Cork last night who feel annoyed about that, and you hear that up and down the country.
We can't get into talking about the Shannon elections because we're running out of time, and it is a quite a long and complicated thing to talk about.
What's the inside and the outside rule there?
Yeah, don't get into it.
The outside panel.
Sandra, we are literally sort of, it's next Monday, isn't it? That the
yes,
we'll
closing
kind of find
date
out
for
more.
All nominations. Yeah. So we've had the university nominations so far for those six senators. We've had the outside panels, the sort of civic bodies for those 43 nominations. But we also have TDs and senators can come together and nominate people as well. We're waiting for those to close next Monday. And then eventually a Taoiseach can nominate
That's
another 11.
11, is
so
it?
So 60 in total, and we won't know until I think the end of March, early April. So it's quite a long process.
And it's a long process. And Micheál, you know a little bit about this, but just the count is very complicated and will take a long time.
Yeah, the count is complicated, but what's more interesting is what does the Shannon give you? Mm. And there are stories of senators going to Washington on Patrick's Day and asking for the diplomatic rate at hotels because they're a senator. So it gives you that kind of stuff. Yeah. And when people say, what does the Shannon ever achieve? Well, maybe not a great deal, but I think Michael McDougall and others and the judiciary looking in can point to the fact that the great pioneering piece of legislation that Shane Ross thought he had honed to a fine degree was scuppered in the Shannon, one of the big changes proposed by the last government. So in that sense, you can see the power of it. And of course, ultimately, though, it is a largely undemocratic vote, isn't it? There's no denying that, even though even in 1979, there was a referendum to extend it to all third level institutions, the graduates, that they would get to vote in that. For some reason, that's something that has never been, that franchise never extended. Then the wider questions and the countless reports on Shannon reform have never come to anything, even though the next programme for government, when we see it in a few weeks, will again make a passing reference and a nod to Shannon reform, but most likely nothing will happen of it. An undemocratic institution, that is what
it's
it
just,
is.
You can predict that so accurately.
Yeah,
you know. That's what it is. But it has achieved stuff, I suppose, in the last government, you could see that. And of course, what it is too is a home that will prolong the life of some politicians and will rehabilitate and
almost,
save others.
Almost like an incubator, I suppose, you know, keeping them warm maybe for the next time round, which we won't talk about, but unfortunately we're running out of time. So we'll get to it.
Sean Kine or Lisa Chambers or Timmy Dooley.
Exactly. All of those names and more. The TDs that lost their seats that will be hoping, I'm sure, to get a seat in the upper house to keep them warm, like I say, for the next Dáil. But look, we'll get into more detail hopefully on our next podcast. That's it for now. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review and join us again next time. From me, Maggie Doyle, Micheál Lehane, Paul Cunningham and Sandra Hurley, thanks very much for listening.